Blog Talk Radio.
And why good people can't lead bad relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian. Not necessarily in that order. And she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's a voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you?
Hello, Cindy. How
I'm assuming you're here because I haven't been able to log on. For some reason, it kept blowing me off, so I just finally called in and said, let me see if I can log on from a
I was wondering where you were because all of a sudden
to a different I went to a different computer, and it was still not accepting me, but now I'm logged on. I think I'm just going to get into the studio now. So I was hoping you were here because I didn't even know if you were. Okay, yes, I'm logged on.
I'm here. And, yeah, I was getting kind of worried because I was sitting there, and I'm like, okay, it says, like, 60 seconds left until showtime, and I'm like, where the hell is Cindy? I'm like, am I going to start this thing on my own again? But
I saw you pop up at the last minute. But that's why I said, I'm going to stop fiddling around and just call in. And meanwhile, I didn't know if you were on. You know what I mean? I'm like, I hope she's on because that always makes me nervous in case you're not here. But it seemed to not, for some reason, it seemed to not want to go on one of the computer that it normally works very easily. I don't know. And then it just kept saying error, so I'm like, I don't know.
You know sometimes it does that to me, too, and I don't know. There's, like, no rhyme or reason to it. Sometimes it's not even I have to change computers. I just have to change my browser. And today, ironically enough, you're having trouble getting on. And, you know, you're having trouble getting on today, and then all of a sudden, you know, today I just completely forgot to switch over to the browser that I normally use, and it worked on the browser that it never works on today. So...
I know, you're right because I was on Edge in my HP, and then in this one I'm on Chrome. So that's probably why it is a different browser. That makes sense now. Okay, you know, but I was like, I'm not gonna panic. You know, it's been one of those days. You know. So how are you feeling? Everyone's been texting me, asking me, how's their favorite girl feeling?
I'm doing okay. Today was a little bit of a rougher day that I've had, you know, since I was sick. But overall,
like,
okay.
Rougher how? Because, I mean, people like to hear your little journey of this. Because this is your second week of COVID,
okay.
Right?
Well, today, I don't know what it was. My breathing was a little bit off today, you know. And even though when I had COVID, I had no breathing issues. I had no cough. I had no nothing. But today I was like a little bit short of breath, and I was getting some chest pains today. So I made an appointment with a cardiologist, and I'm just going to go get checked out just in case, you know, just to be on the safe side. But, yeah, it was just a little bit of discomfort, not like, hey, I'm having a heart attack, just a little bit uncomfortable. So it was enough for me to just, you know, just want to go and make sure that everything is good.
Okay, when can your cardiologist see you?
What's that?
And when can the cardiologist see you?
I don't know. I just put in the request for the appointments because they were both closed. I put in at two places, and they were both closed. So, you know, I just sent emails over, and hopefully by tomorrow they'll be able to fit me in for an appointment.
Right, because you know, these are some little things with long-haul COVID or what happens afterwards. So it's always good to check it out. Okay, so it's
Exactly. Like, I don't think I'm in any danger. I keep checking my O2. My O2 has been at 99 all day. So I'm not really worried about that, you know, as you know, where that's concerned. So I know that my oxygen levels are stable, you know, so, you know, it's just a matter of just figuring out, you know, whether or not, because, I mean, to be perfectly honest with you, I kind of had this prior to having COVID, but I kind of just kind of swept it off because it kind of came and went. And now it's just a little bit worse than it was before COVID. So about a year ago, my doctor recommended that I see a cardiologist, and I didn't do it. So, okay. In all honesty, it's likely not COVID related. It's probably more stress related, but I will be checking it out hopefully within the next 7 days.
Okay, well, that's a good thing to always check it out. I'm one of these people that, by the way, when I get an EKG, it looks as if I have that I have major heart disease, lung disease, and heart failure. I have the worst reading EKG. And when I get then I have to get an echo, and my echo is always fine. But it's one of those things that it's like, it looks worse every single time I get it, okay? And, you know, thank God the cardiologist, like they give me a suggestion. You're fine, okay?
So, with my primary doctor, and my EKG did look okay, but my cholesterol was high, which is why he said, hey, you know what, just go to a cardiologist and just check it out. And that's what I never did, because I know that high cholesterol runs in my family, and it's usually controlled by diet, which I thought I was doing. So I just didn't do it, and it kind of came and went. So I didn't really pay much attention to it. But, you know, today it was enough discomfort for me to say, you know what, let's go check this out. I'm feeling a little bit better. I relaxed a little bit before the show, so it is subsiding now. It was for most of the day, but now it's subsiding. So I'm happy about that.
Okay, so what's our message from this? People, please, you know, get your blood
work. Go to the doctor when you're supposed to go to the doctor.
Do your physicals. Don't put it off. I know a lot of people put a lot of health things off because of COVID, too. They didn't want to go. And, you know, so I think it's just a good thing and to
check
out.
Well, my wife is ready to strangle me for not going, so yeah. So here's a message. If you don't want to get divorced, take care of yourself.
You don't want your wife to kill
you. My wife is
ready
to wring my neck.
And how is your wife feeling, too? Because someone just texted me. Okay, enough about you, Nicole. How's Lisa?
Oh, great. Thanks, guys. Well, actually, Lisa is experiencing a similar discomfort to what I'm experiencing. And because she has the asthma, we're a little bit more cautious with her. So she's actually going to see her primary doctor that's been monitoring her asthma next week. She's going to do a nebulizer treatment tonight, and she's going to, you know, open up her lungs a little bit. Her O2 is fine as well, just so everybody knows. We're getting enough oxygen where we need to get oxygen. It's just, it's a mild discomfort. Most likely with Lisa, it's residual from having COVID. With me, it's probably something that's compounded from something that was pre-existing on top of, you know, what's residual from COVID. But, so Lisa came home today, and she wanted to do the gym, and she decided that she's going to skip the gym and just rest and not push it. We're just going to try to get to bed early, get a little bit of extra sleep, you know, because we kind of went back into our normal routine, which is very, very high paced, and we really should be taking it a little bit easier. So, you know, both of us are going to try to go to bed early tonight, and Lisa will be seeing her doctor next week about her tightness and about her discomfort.
Wow. Well, I'm glad that she's going to do that, okay?
Lisa does that all the time, though. Like, Lisa will sneeze funny, and Lisa will make a doctor's appointment the next day. Me, I can cut off a limb, and I can go, maybe I can crazy glue it back on. It's just, we're just polar opposites that way. So as soon as she felt the discomfort, she goes, oh, my God, make me a doctor's appointment. And I'm like, okay. So I made her the doctor's appointment. I just never made it for myself because I know what my doctor's going to say. My doctor's going to say, did you go to the cardiologist? And I'm going to say no. And he's going to say, well, I told you to do that last year, and I'm going to say, I know, and then he's going to tell me to go to a cardiologist. So I just mitigated that, and I just went straight to the cardiologist portion of it.
Okay, good. That's a smart girl. Now, interesting enough, when we're on the phone, Gary, who I do the podcast with,
Yes, Dr. Gary. I love Dr. Gary.
Dr. Gary, I haven't talked to him since we actually did our show together. Right, Dr. Gary. Well, Dr. Gary, I sent him a copy of the galley of the book because it is done. It's not me slowing it up now. It's just a few technical things that have nothing to do with me. And today the Kindle came back, so I had to check that over, that Kindle book, and there were just a few spacing things. But anyway, I sent him a copy of it, and he just sent me this. I can't put the book down. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. Also, thanks for the podcast shout-out. I definitely want to do a two-part podcast on the book. No way we can do just one episode. I've been taking notes and writing down my takeaways. Interestingly enough, but not shocking, I've been channeling spirit a lot since I started reading this. That's what it's supposed to do. You're supposed to be able to channel yourself from this book. It's supposed to help you.
That's
so I'm so
wonderful.
Glad to see that. And Debbie Tony said the same thing when she read it, that she's been getting a lot more channeling done. So I'm glad, because that was, you know, I can't know that if the book's going to do that. I only could see it's supposed to do it, but I can only tell, you know, if people say it's doing that. So I'm so glad it's almost done. You know, Andrew did a wonderful, wonderful job on the cover. And, you know, there was a few back and forth with that, too, because not him, but there's technical things. So I feel like he's going to kill me, because every day I keep saying, Amazon said this doesn't fit within this. And it's funny, because you would think that I could download just the cover to preview and see what that does. I couldn't do it until the manuscript was downloaded. So then we had to go back and forth a few times. So
everything goes according to file size. And depending on how many outlets you're going to have it on, the bleed on any kind of artwork is going to be different from site to site, and the DPI is going to be different from site to site. So, you know, that it's going to require a little bit of tweaks to make it like a universal one-size-fits-all.
Yep, and so he had to do one for the Kindle book, one for the print book, one for the Audible. And
I am familiar.
So he's been so good about it, and I felt terrible because, you know, I had to send him one thing back today, and I'm like, sorry, it's not me, it's Amazon. So he was so nice about it. I was like, are you going to kill me? You know, so, and then he said, boy, I have an understanding of how hard it is to do a book. I go, yeah, you don't understand. You know, they send it back to you, and there's a spacing error, and you send it with a correction, and they correct that space, and there's something else. I mean, there's one thing that I noticed. There was, like, no one else is going to notice this correction they didn't do. I noticed it, and it's driving me crazy, but I said, no one's going to notice it but me, so I'm going to leave it, because if I send that back to them, they're going to screw up something else. So I'm just going to have to live with this, okay? So,
you want to know what's funny about that, Cindy, is that you and I are such similar creatures that way. Somebody commissioned me to do a piece for them, and I sent them a digital of the final drawing, and obviously they wanted it framed and they wanted it shipped and everything else. So I finished the drawing, and I sent them the final, and they loved it. They said, okay, yes, ship it. We're good. It's exactly what I want. I said, okay. And then after I framed it and after I sealed it and everything else, I saw something I didn't like. And I sat there. And 2 days later, I informed them that I did not put it in the mail because I wanted to make changes. And I started changing the whole thing.
Unlike you,
I couldn't let it go. I had to go back.
And well, I said, well, this one is so minor that they should have corrected.
Yeah.
It's a quote within a quote, which no one's probably going to notice because the way it is, it's hard to tell that it's really a quote within a quote. So it's
Cindy,
missing one
quotation.
I changed
the blade of grass.
Right. Well, that's what I'm talking about. That's about what this is equivalent to. But if it was just me going into my computer, I could do it in a second. If I send it to them, they're probably not going to correct that right, or the spacing is going to change. And I'm just like, did you ever watch that, the Frasier where Niles keeps, you know, he's all ready for his date, everything's perfect. Then he sees one tiny little crease in his pants. Then he fixes the pants. Then he fixes this. Then he fixes that. And all of a sudden, by the time the person comes, he's half naked. The house is a wreck because he kept. So I said, I keep saying,
he,
it's going to be Niles if I send this back. So I could correct him.
And what's funny about that is that I did not like the show Frasier, but I watched it anyway for Niles. I thought that he was just such a quirky, wonderfully played character that I literally endured the entire show just for him. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yep, and Shauna, my delicious, smart, incredible daughter, just sent me, I've heard Quakers purposely put one wrong stitch into their quilts because only God can create perfection. Thank you, Shauna, because that one missing tiny little single quotation mark will be my imperfect stitch.
Well, thank you, Shauna, for saying that, because I still feel, well, no, it's already done. I changed the blade of grass, but maybe on my next commission, I will not change the blade of grass.
But it would be okay for me if I could change it. It would be nothing because then I could say other things. But I have found, like, I had to wait 4 days for one comma that then they made it a semicolon, and then I had to wait 4 days for the semicolon. I'm just like, no.
I don't remember your other two books taking this, you know, going back and forth like this. Did they go back and forth like this? Or is there just more scrutiny now?
I think so. And also because those two books was a different deal with Amazon. They had, like, they did a lot of the stuff that they no longer do now. So it all fell on me.
Gotcha.
Okay,
that
including
makes
having to get the ISBN number, getting the Library of Congress number, designing my own cover, getting my own editor. You know, there's a lot, getting my own people to set the galley. There's a lot of stuff that I did not have to do. Okay, so that's a reason. Okay, so that's why there's a lot more, you know, of this. So
yeah,
and
it's just so much. And people
so
don't
much.
Realize just how much, when you're putting out a product like this, people just don't realize how much there is. There's just
much
that goes into things like this.
Right. I mean, a lot of it goes into it. And, you know, so it's just, you know, and poor Andrew has now got a flavor for it. He just said, oh, my God. You know, and it was just the cover, you know.
Yep.
But I love that Shauna put that because I think she's right. I think that will be my stitch. And,
yay, Shauna.
She is the best. Now, you know, and she's recovering from her very bad tooth, which was what a nightmare.
Yes,
you know,
how is she doing with that tooth?
Okay, but if they had corrected it, it would have not been the disaster that it was. So, again,
oh, dear Lord.
That's what I tell people, like, a lot of my clients are, you know, they put off a lot of things, dentists, doctors, and that's why I think it's important, let's not put things off anymore. Like, if you have to go, because it's kind of better to
get
things.
Let me tell you something. But even at that, though, Cindy, it's not even a question of let's go, you know, when something is bothering you, go. You also have to find somebody that's reputable, that's actually going to be honest. Because let me tell you, I went to a dentist, and I absolutely loved her. She was great. She was part of a larger practice. And I had to go back, and she happened to be on maternity leave. And whoever was taking her clients, you know, gave me an appointment when I needed to go, and it was no problem. Now, I know that I need a lot of work done, so I never questioned any of the bills that they ever gave me. But Lisa had a toothache, and I sent her over to a place that I thought was a great place, you know, or rather, you know, a great dentist. And she comes back for a toothache with a $2,000 bill, and the dentist telling her that she needs to replace crowns, and she needs, you know, to do, you know, two surface fillings and everything else. Now, because I know teeth and because I've had as much work done as I have, I looked at this and I said,
I know, you and I should be honorary dentists from all the work, okay?
Oh, yes, absolutely. But I looked at this quote and I'm like, this cannot be your quote. A, you don't have crowns in your mouth to be replaced. And B, where he said you needed a two-sided filling is in a healthy tooth. I said, the filling that you would likely need is on the tooth behind that one, which he's saying is a crown, which is not a crown. I said, and if it were a crown, you wouldn't be having a toothache there. You know, so luckily Lisa's mom works for a dental surgeon, and the dental surgeon took a look at her as a courtesy, even though he doesn't do fillings and things like that. And he said, listen, do not go back there. Do not have your wife go back there. You know, this guy is literally, he's like a used car salesman. He's just trying to upsell you on things that you don't need. And, you know, he verified that there were no crowns in Lisa's mouth to be replaced. And, you know, he verified that she didn't even have a cavity. She just had a gap between the teeth and the gum was inflamed, you know. So, and he said, you know what, if you replace a filling, they can close that gap, end of story. So literally we went from a $2,000 bill of crown replacements and root canals and everything else and fillings to literally a replacement of one filling. That's probably going to be about $150. So make sure that you're doing your homework. If you have anything like this, do your homework, make sure that you're working with people who have good reviews, make sure that you're working with people who've got a history of honesty, and make sure that you're going to the doctor that you're supposed to be going to. Because when I double-checked online, the doctor that I normally go to had rave reviews, you know, and the doctor whose care they put me under in her absence had nothing online about him. So sometimes nothing is worse than even a bad review. You know what I'm saying? To me, that nobody even cared enough to say what this guy was doing, and he's kind of really pulling the wool over people's eyes. So if something is bothering you, do your homework. Make sure that you get in there expeditiously, but make sure that you're doing your homework so that you're going to somebody who's not going to rip you off, who's going to do the right thing by you, because not everybody's interested in your care. A lot of people are just interested in the billing of your insurance company.
And that's true. And you also, sometimes if there's nothing bad about someone, it's because they pay to scrub the internet clean. So that's why there's nothing bad on there. And anyway, Shana said, I'm doing my homework, you know, because, you know, for that reason, you know.
Good for you, Shana.
She's doing her homework.
And listen, if she needs a surgeon, if she needs crowns or anything like that, Cindy, text me after the show. And what I'll do is I'll refer you over to the surgeon that Lisa's mom works with. So it's not for anything small like cavities or things like that, but if you need extractions or any of the surgical work done, then, you know, then he's your guy and he can recommend somebody for you to do the finish work and to do the polish work after the surgery is done. So if she needs anything like that, let me know. And he's not too far. He's only in Babylon. And, you know, he's a great guy, and he's been wonderful with Lisa. And Lisa's mom has been working with him for quite some time. And first and foremost, he's honest. So if she needs anything like that, then let me know.
That's important. And now we have a lot of listeners, but no one's pressed one. Now we've talked about
actually one person pressed one, and it is my friend Kathy. So, and I didn't even screen her. I just recognized the number. So
how come it's pressed on yours and not pressed on mine? I have no
I don't know. Just one. It's just a single little number one. But I'm sure that once Kathy starts talking that other people will want to press one. So here we go. I'm going to give you a little synopsis of Kathy because I've been working with Kathy a lot this week. All right. Kathy and I were on the phone for about an hour and 20 minutes the other day chit-chatting about this. So our listeners may or may not remember that Kathy called in about her boyfriend, John, and I had said that her boyfriend, John, was kind of using his kids as weaponry and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the long and short of it was that you had said that there was a soul connection there and that he kind of tripped it up, you know, down the ladder of love, and he was kind of pulling it into a cellmate situation from a soulmate situation. Well, new developments have happened, and this guy is simply not who he says he was. And Kathy got wind of that firsthand from him. She has cut him off completely, and I'm going to let her tell you about her spiritual journey and about her reconciliation of all of this, which I'm very proud of her for, right now. So she definitely heeded both yours and my advice, and we're going to let her tell you the rest. So here we go, out to Kathy.
Hi,
hello,
Cindy.
Kathy, you're on the air.
Hi, Kathy. I'm so happy to hear from you. You have such
yay.
I just want to tell people she is like the best energy. Reading Kathy is like was like really a great experience, and she listens and she learns. So tell us what you found out, because it's always interesting when people find out stuff. We love that.
Oh my gosh. He is just a liar. He loves to accuse and a master manipulator. And it's like my third eye opens up like over the past few weeks, and I really started to see things for what they really are. And I realized he's been manipulating me since day one. And
this whole time.
I'm thinking like, wow, like this is my soulmate. I met the person that I'm going to be with for the rest of my life. But the fact was that I was so trusting because I've known him since I was 12 years old.
Yeah, wow. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, you needed to step away from him because the blinders stay on as long as we're seeing these people regularly. We have to step away, and then suddenly things seem clear. And you look back and say, how come I didn't see this? Well, that's because, you know, when we love people, we put on those blinders and we go into denial and we don't see it.
Right.
Okay. And also, I just think he's really manipulating more because he doesn't want to lose you. So, I don't know, maybe he's trying harder, but it's backfiring.
Well, he's blocked now. I blocked him from my phone. So
wow.
Now his mom is communicating with me. She had asked me about some books that the kids left in the car, and I said, yep, I mailed them. But
wow.
She actually
messaged
me.
Yeah, he was just trying to contact you about that.
Yeah, I know that. Well, he can't contact me because he's blocked. That's why I think he realized it and asked his mom to message me. She sent me a nice message today, like, I just want you to know that I really appreciate you for everything that you did, and I know that it came from a good place, from love. And I said, thank you.
Wow. You know, and, you know, just know that, you know, how are you feeling, though? Do you feel liberated from this?
I don't miss him because the person that I sell for, like, it's not him at all. Right now he's trying, these are his words, he's trying to conquer a Muslim woman because she's like a virgin, has only been with one person, and because it's against her religion to have anyone touch her or to touch anyone, it is, she's a conquest.
Wow.
His words. Yeah. Disgusting. So he's telling her whatever she needs to hear to manipulate. I'm assuming she has low self-esteem. She was married to a man who used to abuse her daily and broke both her arms, gave her a concussion. So that's what he's looking for. So I don't miss him, but I have been waking up every morning just, you know, missing the kids, missing the boys, wondering if they're going to be okay, if they're going to remember me, you know, 10, 15, 20 years from now. Like, that's what hurts.
Yeah, I know, for sure. And, you know, what I would say is, you know, you experience what we call, you know, spearing your face and shit to see who he was and what he's about. It's painful, and you love the kids. You know, I'm sure you've made a mark on them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they're going to miss you, and it's hard on them.
They've messaged me that they miss me.
Yeah, and again, you know, you can't really be involved with them without being involved with him.
I know.
So, and it's hard. But remember, in the future, as they get older and bigger, if they want to contact you on their own, they can. And you
right.
might have them in your life later on. That's the sad part about it. The sad part about it is, you know, the universe wanted you guys together so your children and his children could all see a better version of love. Unfortunately, it didn't stay that way. But,
right.
You know, there's a lot of loss here. Are you mourning
mm-hmm.
for the ending of this?
Oh, it's done. Right now, the only thing I think about is the kids. Like, I could care less about him. Like,
right.
there's no
And that sounds
that.
Not
like,
the Kathy we heard, you know, a few months back that she
no,
could care less
I was
about.
I was super in love with him. Love is blind.
Yeah, that's it. Love is blind. And that's the whole point. We don't see things. And, you know, in the beginning you brought out the best in him and maybe that wasn't all there. But now it's like, you know, having to close that door to his kids only because you just don't want to keep
him in
your life.
I don't want him in my life. Oh.
And they know it too, the kids. They
well,
realize.
Well, you know what, Kathy? And here's, and I'm just going to chime in on this little bit. Since we know what a master manipulator he is, not that I'm doubting how much the children miss you or love you, but I wouldn't put it past him.
Having them contact
for
me.
Him to have them contact you just because he asks them to. And
oh, I know.
Your
I've,
compliance
I've
with
that.
That. Yeah, your compliance with that is giving him almost like not necessarily an open door, but an open window where he will know that he can kind of weasel his way back in. So as
yeah,
much as you love
that.
Them, and I know that you love them, you're going to have to make that clean break. And we discussed that this week.
I know.
You're going to have to make that clean break.
And I think
know.
She's right on that they might say to him over dinner, oh, we miss Kathy. And then he goes, well, why don't you tell her? Do you know what I mean? Like, so he is
mm-hmm.
a little of a manipulator, you know.
Oh,
a lot of a manipulator. He's a douchebag.
Master manipulator.
No, he's a fucking asshat, Cindy. He's an absolute asshat. Kathy's being nice about it. He's a fucking douchebag.
Well, because I'm a nice person, and regardless of what he did to me, I'm not going to talk shit about him. I'll talk shit about him to you and to my close friends. But, you know, if people see me out, I'm just going to say, you know, it didn't work out. It's better.
Right, that's exactly it. That's it. Because that's also, no one wants to hear all of this. But
No.
I just think it's important that you've been calling in and our listeners can hear how you start to see something you didn't see before. And until we get that aha clarity, we'll still be under their spell. What it is the spell is broken. The spell is totally broken. And that's why you needed this back and forth contact with him. Otherwise, you would have still been under the spell. So that's what this was all about. And, you know, you will be granted another soulmate on the positive note sooner than later.
I'm wondering if this person's already in my life.
Well,
can you see that?
Well, how long have you known this other person? Is something new?
11 years.
Oh, no, so 11's a pretty powerful number. It's one of the strongest numbers in numerology. So interesting. Do you feel a heart connection with him? How about a soul connection?
Always. Always.
How about a mind connection? Do you feel that?
Yes.
And how about a body? Do you have the chemistry with him?
We definitely have chemistry.
So now you've known him 11 years. Why did this never happen before, or did it?
Because his situation is that he's married. And over the past 2 years, we talk every now and again, maybe even 5 years, on and off. He's been telling me that they've been talking about divorce, this and that. I said, all right, well, you know, I hope everything works out, you know, the way that you want it to. And that's how we've always kept it. But now he's talking about it more. So I don't know if he's trying to send me a message. I said, listen, I just got out of something really bad. If you want to have conversations with me, nothing changes if nothing changes. I need to heal myself. I need to fix myself. And if this is something that you want to talk about, then you need to change your situation, because otherwise it's not moving forward.
Wow. And that's something I think you're going to have to figure out. If this moves forward, I would just put the cards on the table. And, I mean, can you guys start to see each other and see what's there? I mean, like, bring this forward and make it something?
We did many, many, many years ago. And I said, you know, like, this can't go any further. Like, this, you know, I do like you. I've never had conversations with any man the way that I have with him. They're highly intelligent conversations, but I'm not going to put myself out there with him because he's not available.
All right. So that's the whole point. You know, there is a soulmate connection, but soulmate love demands commitment to that love.
Mm-hmm.
And if he can't commit to it, how is this going to go anywhere than to be
exactly.
a circular mess? So, yeah, he could.
I ducked in the chat room. Are we still talking about John?
No.
Tell who you're talking about.
Who are you talking
about? I'm talking about a friend that I have known for 11 years, that I met him through work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's not really available, so I think, like,
nope.
That might just be a waste of time for you.
Oh, yeah, that's the part I came in on, which is why I was asking about John, Kathy.
No,
baby.
No, not John.
Sweetheart, I'm going to give you some, I'm going to give you a little dose of what I do on this show. You and I had a very lengthy conversation this week about closet commitment phobes, because John was also married at the time that he was making all of these promises to you. And what did we talk about? That it was very, very easy for him to say all of the right things, because he ultimately knew that his ex-wife not wanting to give him a divorce was going to delay these things. Stop shopping in the same dumpster. Stop
I'm not
looking to people.
I'm
just saying. Stop looking to people who are emotionally unavailable. We discussed in your book and in your list, you want somebody who is emotionally available, who is physically available, who is, you know, available to you in every possible way, somebody who is not a commitment phobe, okay? And as long as you are entertaining people who are not fully available to you, you're not going to get the desired result.
I get that.
Wow.
We need to talk about this tomorrow. You call me tomorrow.
Okay, and that's the whole point. Okay, let's tell her she has to say the soulmate prayer. She has to pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to her and commit to healing. And she needs to be a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit back and commit to healing.
Yes, ma'am.
Don't you think she needs that prayer?
Yes, ma'am, she does. And in addition to that, Cindy, and you'll be very, very happy that I added her on this as well, we also discussed the fact that when she was going through her list, she had a lot of negative terms in there. I don't want this. I don't want that. And I told her to restructure
that
list
and
use positive language.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you still working on that list?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So,
now for our listeners out there, when you're making that list of the things that you want, make sure you're only saying things that you want. Don't start telling people what you don't want, okay? Because the universe is going to hear positivity. Or, I'm sorry, the universe is going to hone in on those negative words. So don't say you don't want somebody who lies. Say you want somebody who's honest.
Exactly.
Say
the universe doesn't
like,
hear not. They don't hear I don't
that?
Want. They don't hear the word I do not want. They don't hear the word
correct.
Not. At all. For
right.
some reason, the universe does not hear that.
Because the universe wants to facilitate. The universe wants to give you things. The universe wants to bring about this harmony. It wants to bring about love. So all of those negative things, it's not going to hear. So if you say, I don't want somebody who lies, the universe is going to hear, I want someone who lies. And that's what you're going to get. So for everybody out there, Kathy, you included, make sure that when you're thinking about these things and that when you're making these lists, that you're being positive. So refrain from saying things like, I don't want somebody who lies, and say, I want somebody who's honest. Don't say like, you know, I don't want somebody who is not responsible. Say, I would like somebody who takes responsibility for their actions. Okay, there's a different way of wording things. And when you're wording things this way, you're also changing the way you're thinking. And when you're thinking more positively, it's the law of attraction, you will get more positive things.
Now, it's so funny, when you said the law of attraction, Shauna had sent a message, law of attraction.
See? Confirmation, so, Shauna. Thank you very much.
You guys are on the same page today.
We
got to
get Shauna on the show one of these nights, Cindy.
I think she's so full of good information and she's so smart about this stuff. So, yeah, she figures it right out, you know, law of attraction. So, I mean, I think, Kathy, this is great advice that your friend's giving. And, like, if you're afraid of commitment, you're going to keep going. Going after commitment phobics, okay? And then you're going to say, it's not my fault. You know, they didn't step up to the plate. You know, so I'm sure this man has a lot of feelings for you, but he may not be the one, so, you know, to step up. So let's just leave it, because I didn't, when I saw the cards about a soulmate, it's not someone you've met already, is what I've seen here, okay?
Okay.
So be open to a whole new thing if you're, for that, please. And, be ready. And, you know, I'm sure he's going to pursue you, but, unless he's, you know, available, it's kind of a waste of your energy there.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm glad that, you know, you have your friend being tough love, because I'm never that tough on this show. Everybody knows that.
Oh, no, Nicole's been great. Nicole's been great. She's been a really good friend to me.
Oh, she's a really good friend to everybody, you know. We love her. And
no,
it's
listen,
so funny.
I love Kathy to death, which is why I'm as hard on her as I am, you know. And honestly, any time that anybody hears me, even if you listen to me in the archives where I'm a little bit abrasive, I do have the best of intentions there. And you know what? My desire to give Kathy tough love is not because I genuinely like it. It's because I genuinely believe that she deserves better. And I want her to believe that she deserves better. And sometimes, you know, your actions, even though you're saying that you recognize that, sometimes your actions do say otherwise. So, you know, just, you know, from me to you, Kathy, I do believe that you deserve everything that you want. You are a good person. And I don't want to see you keep repeating mistakes that's going to inhibit you getting ultimately what you want, because you deserve to get what you want.
Right. We want you to have, you know, all the love you deserve. And
absolutely.
Again, I would think that your homework assignment this week is to meditate on your closet commitment phobia, okay, and why you would be drawn to a man who is going to put you in the same mess you would have been in with this one.
Yeah.
Okay, you know,
but
there's
one thing that I will congratulate Kathy on, and Cindy, you had told her, you know, that she needed to confront things about her dad and things like that, and you know what, Kathy, I can say, did do her homework there. And she is trying to move past some of that. And, you know, it was not very, very easy for her. And then once she got into a flow, she was able to, you know, get everything out. And she told me that she felt a lot better once she did it. So, you know, that's not an easy thing to do. So I do just, since I just gave Kathy a whole lot of tough love, I do want to say I do commend her in kind of following that demon where it needed to go in order for her to find peace. So she did do a wonderful job on that, and I do commend you for that, Kathy.
Thank you.
Course. Well, Kathy, we're just going to put out love, and you can just keep saying, grant me a higher love, okay? You know, just keep saying those words, and it'll be granted. And it's kind of a really synchronistic show today, by the way. Pat, who sometimes calls in, just message, and it's not to do with your call, but, you know, she's had some health issues, and she said she's doing better, mentioned it on the show. And you could also mention this. It's important to take care of one's health.
Yeah, seriously. Well, since this whole thing happened, like, I look great, Cindy. I just put on size 4 jeans, and I haven't been
you
a size
great.
4. And I look freak. I look like a MILF, Cindy. Even
she's a MILF. We love this. So, well, see, when you heal your issues, you look like a MILF, okay? Like, there's something good. So that's what I'm saying. Do you need to have, you know, these men, you know, sniffing around you who can't come up with the goods, or do you just need to go out there and be that hot MILF and find a new guy? So I'm glad that you're looking great. I'm glad that you're looking great, because, and I'm glad you have that confidence, because that will get you out there. Your self-esteem is so good now, and you know.
Well, I'm walking down the street. I'm having people honk. Not that that's very respectful, but I mean,
yeah, okay,
like,
that's
oh,
good.
Good.
It's still nice when it happens.
Yeah.
Listen, I know we're all supposed to be PC and everything, and you know, it's. You know, you got a whole lot of women saying, oh, that's inappropriate. You know what? Sometimes it's friggin' nice to be noticed. Sometimes it's nice to get honked at. I'm sorry. It's an ego
especially
boost.
At
like,
my
get
age.
Yourselves, ladies.
I get honked at my age.
Just get
my
the compliment and move on.
Well, recently I went to a singles event, and they thought I was 26. I'm like, no, I'm actually over 40, but thanks. That made me feel great.
Wow. Well, see, all of this should give you confidence. And, well, maybe, you know, you did feel that soulmate love, and that sort of is like a fountain of youth. So maybe that's helped you get that fountain of youth, even though it didn't maintain itself or work out. You got kissed by a fountain of youth. So with that attitude, go out. And I like that you went to a single event. Go out, go to events, smile, you know, if someone smiles at you or whatever. Smile back and
be happy.
You know, be happy. And that's what I, you
nothing
know, like your whole energy
has been happiness.
Different. Do you notice her whole energy is different from like 4 months ago?
Oh, absolutely. Let me tell you something. Yeah. Kathy and I have been through a lot together. We know each other now how long, Kathy? 6 years? 7 years?
Since 2012. So 9 years.
Really that long? That's
yeah.
Right, because you were Lisa's friend first.
Yeah,
yes. We've only been working together for that long, but yeah, Kathy and I know each other for almost 10 years then, you know, if that's the case. Yeah, because she was Lisa's friend first, and then she and I started working together, and, you know, obviously we forged our own friendship, and you know, but yeah, it's been, you know,
it's
almost 10 years now. Wow.
Well, it's been quite a roller coaster.
Oh boy, has it been. And Kathy and I have been through some ups and downs. And, you know, listen, I call Kathy out on her crap. And I'm probably one of the only people that does that. Me and one other person probably are the only people that have the balls to call Kathy out on her crap. But the one thing that I will say is that Kathy is always receptive whenever she hears constructive criticism. She does not necessarily just shut down. And even if she doesn't take the advice right away, she gets to a place where she can accept it and where she can move forward. And, you know, she's really, really good that way. And, you know, just like I said, like Cindy said, Kathy, just continue to be happy and smile. And eventually you're going to get what you need. But like I said in our previous conversation, if you have that block there, if you have him anywhere in that vicinity, it's going to put out a vibe that you're not available. And you don't want to do that to the right person. So just make sure that that whole area is cleansed so that you can move forward in a positive way, fully head, heart, mind, body, you know, I mean, everything. You know, you just want to make sure that whoever does come along, that you can give yourself 100% without that baggage.
Right. Wow. I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
And again, your energy is contagious. I told you that I love you because you have this incredibly contagious, delightful energy. And, you know, that's something that, you know, money can't buy, okay? That's just you, okay? And
I think
all of our listeners needed to hear some of this today. I think your energy is just
so wonderful.
So upbeat and happy.
It wasn't that way for quite some time. So it's nice to feel like myself again. It's like a ton of weight has been lifted off my shoulders and like I can breathe again.
Wow. And that's part of even like, you know, one good tarot card reading is worth 20 years of therapy. It does have the ability to open up things and start, you know, healing, because when you open a vortex to healing, you know, through tarot, you get a lot of angels and spirit guides, you know, that come through and help you there. Speaking your body through, long after the reading, they're still tweaking you.
Mm-hmm. And they started taking pictures off my walls. They just started falling.
Wow. And Shana just said, that's Carl Jung's quote, one good tarot card reading's worth 20 years of therapy. You know, and it's really true. It really, it lifts a lot of weight off of you. And that's actually, when you know you're healed, suddenly you feel like all these crosses you've been carrying and all these burdens that are making life so hard to go forward with. That's why I said you're moving forward, but just when you said like you're drawn to that man from the past, it's almost going to be that same energy. There's a part of you that wanted to pull back.
It's not even that I'm drawn to him. We are very good friends, and we do have great conversations. He's a great resource professionally. So I know that he's going to be in my life. I just wasn't – my question was more, is my soulmate in my life right now? But you answered that. You said, no, it's going to be someone that I don't know at all.
Right. And just be ready, you know, to move forward, be open. But also, without all this baggage, that's why people are honking at you. It's not just even your physical being, which I'm sure looks fabulous. It's an inner light that comes through.
My daughter said that. She said, I'm glowing.
Yep.
Wow. And this makes me so happy to hear this. And I just hope that everyone understands that you did a lot of inner homework to get here. Okay?
Yes, I did.
And Kathy, also remember one other thing, too. We're throwing around the word soulmate. It doesn't necessarily mean that this other person from the past isn't a soulmate.
Right.
It's just a platonic relationship. Soulmates come in all shapes and sizes. So just because this person from the past isn't the love that you're looking for, it doesn't mean that they're not a soulmate friend in another capacity.
Right.
So you can still have that relationship, and you can still culture that relationship as long as it does not get muddied up with what you ultimately want romantically for a life partner.
Right. No, I completely understand that and completely agree. And it's not going anywhere.
How many soulmates do we get?
20.
Exactly.
As many as we need.
Exactly.
And not all are meant to last forever. you know, a soulmate is in Kairos time, not Kronos time. Kronos time is, you have to listen to the show at 7 o'clock. Kairos time is soul time. It doesn't matter if you've met a soulmate for 5 minutes. They could totally change something inside of you with the alchemy of it. Other people can be in our life for 50 years. They don't change us. Soulmates change us, help us learn our life lessons. And when we learn them, sometimes we move on. Sometimes they're there for longer periods of time. Sometimes they're shorter periods of time. So, you know, I'm glad we brought up soulmates today because we do have many different kinds of soulmates. And you're not responsible for the ending of that soulmate relationship with John,
oh,
by the way. He's responsible for it. So that's why you'll be granted another one. He won't, by the way. Not for any time soon. And that's sad for his children because then they're only going to see crappy versions of love.
Yeah.
Which is the sad part about it. You know, so
it is the sad part.
You know, and that's, so he's altered something that will affect them forever too. Because they're going to think love starts out good and then it sucks, and love starts out good and then it disappears. And you're not going to have good feelings about love, which is sad.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this was very important that you called in tonight because I think there was a lot of fabulous information that came through, you know, about you. And I think it's really helpful that people can see that when we heal, we feel lighter, happier, and we look better too.
We look so much better, Cindy. So much better. I'm like flaunting. I'm strutting when I'm walking down the street. I feel great.
I love that. And I think that in itself is why your energy is so contagious, so delicious, so delightful. And, you know, thank you for sharing your story with us today because there was a lot there for people to listen to. And, you know, call
thank
in
you.
Again when your soulmate comes, or just call in any time to let us know how you're doing and how you're feeling. Because that was just great.
Yeah, give us an update.
I definitely will.
Well, you have a great evening, and thanks for
thank
sharing
you,
your
you
story
too.
With us.
No
bye.
Problem.
See you tomorrow, Kathy.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, now we have about 8 minutes left. If anyone would like to talk to us, they can please press 1 because we're here.
Actually, we had a lot of people press 1 while we were on with Kathy, but I did queue one other person up before, you know, while you were talking to Kathy earlier in the conversation, Cindy. We do have Joanne next, and she called
how
in
come
about
I don't
3 months
see any,
ago.
How come I don't see any of this? How come I don't see any
I
of
don't
this?
Know. I
okay.
don't know, but I'm going to just try to be quick here so that we can fit Joanne in the last couple of minutes. So basically she's calling us from New York, and she just wants to know what your feelings are about relocating. She has read all your books, and she just really is interested in what you see. So here we go out to Joanne in New York. Hello, Joanne. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Joanne. So, okay. You're thinking of relocating. This seems like, have you been thinking about this for a while now? This is not something new to you right now? Has it been on your mind?
Yeah.
Okay, because, you know, it's a little scary to make the move, for sure, but that thought's been in your head for a while, and the relocation actually looks very good. Now, in terms of relocation, would you have to get a whole new job, or is your job remote now? What's the story with your work?
My job is remote.
Okay, so that's the best part about remote jobs now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Holds you to one place. It looks like you're a little scared because you're an old soul. You like the devil, you know. Does the thought of relocating scare you? Is it making you nervous?
Absolutely.
And, you know, older souls tend to have to weigh all the pros and cons of everything. Have you done that? Have you written your pros list and cons list here? For yourself?
Yes.
Okay. And because the pros of moving look like a lot more than the cons, you know, and then staying. Do you see that there's a much more, including being a little cheaper lifestyle? Is that what you're looking for too? A little less expensive?
Well, it's going to probably wind up being more, I think. That's the problem.
Well, where are you planning on moving to?
Well, that's the thing. I'm not sure if I want to move. Moving out of state will definitely be cheaper, or staying in New York and just going further out east.
Okay, yeah, because, you know, I'm not sure if you go further out east why it would cost more unless you want to get something bigger. Is that what you want to try to do?
Yeah, to own. Right now I rent.
Okay. The move looks great. I mean, but again, we were talking about the law of attraction earlier. you kind of have to, because you have the Wheel of Fortune going to spin with 2022, which is a five-year period in which anything you want is yours, and it's a good time to make any kind of move. But, you know, giving a little mixed messages, you kind of have to tell the universe, I want out east, or I want south, or I want, so they can then open, you know, the vortex to helping you find the right place. So do you want to stay in New York if you could? Is that your first choice?
That would be my first choice.
Okay. So kind of put that out to the universe. Have you also written down what your ideal house would be like? Do you have a vision of what you want?
I have a vision, yes. I have a vision, yes.
Okay, good. Because holding on to that vision, you know, right now is a little bit of an expensive time to buy a house because it's a little bit, it's a little overinflated right now.
Yes.
Are you taking that into account, that maybe waiting a little longer might go to your benefit when they come back down a little bit?
I'm hoping, but like they say, they come down, interest rates go up. Right now, interest rates are great, so it's like a, you know, it's like a play here. Yeah.
Right. And do you have a place you're going to sell now, or are you renting?
No, I'm renting.
Okay. You know, put your look out there. Just be sure that you, I know it's a little scary to buy something. That's really scary, okay? But, you know, you have a good period of time opening up. I would start looking. You definitely will see, I keep getting the home card. You're definitely going to own a home. I mean, that's important to you, okay? And, again, trust that, you know, you'll find the right place. You know, it's going to be more expensive because you're going to be buying a home, so it will cost you more than where you're living now. But ultimately, do you want to stay in? You want to buy something you're going to stay in for a while, right? It's going to be your home.
Yes.
Okay. Do you know where out east you might want to go? Do you have a town in mind, or?
Out probably by you.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, there are certain areas that haven't gone up quite as much as others, by the way. You know, so that's something to look at. But I would say, the move is sooner than later. Just be confident that it's what you need to be doing. Home is really important to you, and I think you want that home base now. And you're working from the home. Is that correct?
Yes.
So you need a little more space when you work from the home, because otherwise you feel like, oh, my God, you know, like I tend to close the door on my two offices and go in any of the other rooms in the house, and they do after the end of the day, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, you have a lot of divine guidance here saying it's time to go. And have you started looking at all?
I have, and I put a lot of offers in. I go to what I can afford, but I've been turned out on all the houses so far.
Well, consider that if you don't want to pay more than they're worth, okay? They're already overpriced without going into the bidding wars. Which is what's going to make
50 or 60,000 over what they're worth. I can't do it.
Well, that's what's going to happen 2 years from now, foreclosures, because that's what happens when people go into bidding wars and pay for what they can't afford. So I would not overpay. I would just keep doing it, looking. And it's also good for you to be looking, because it gets you a little more skillful with the whole thing of buying a house. Do you know what I mean? So I think you're learning something in this process, aren't you?
Yeah.
You know, and you keep learning, and, you know, nothing looks bad in your cards. It just looks like you'll find something, you know, but don't just get involved in the bidding wars, okay? Because that's what's happening. They're crazy. They're going 100,000 over. I mean, it's just insane.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will not do that.
And people are coming from Manhattan with cash, so they don't even need a mortgage. They could never, one of my friends had a $425,000 home that he bought 3 years ago that he got $850,000 cash for from someone from Manhattan. You can't get a mortgage. The house isn't worth that, but if you have that kind of cash, so if you don't get it, just know, stay within your budget, stay within your limit. Be patient. It might take 6 months to a year to find something.
Okay.
But, you know, ultimately I see you getting a nice home. So I'm glad you called in with that, because that's troubling a lot of people right now. Should they buy? Should they stay? What should they do? So
And it's just so disheartening, because the realtors, what they're doing, how they're just abusing the, I mean, I guess the people, buyers, and what, how they're just, they're creating the price wars. They're putting houses low. They get you out there. They then they want, oh, this one's bidding this, and can you come up higher, and we're getting this. Oh, and they shame you, like, that's what you're bidding
on
this home?
Well, that's the eBay. That's the eBay. Watch eBay. You could sell an $8 shirt that people start bidding on, and you get $200 for an $8 shirt. I mean, you know, that's the eBay mentality. So I don't want you getting roped into that. So, you know, I know some of my clients have gotten some pretty good deals. You know, there seems to be some people that want to sell their house. They know what it's worth, and they, you know, they're not looking to, like, you know, get people to pay $8,000 million more.
Right.
You know, just that's ridiculous. Certain towns, it hasn't gone up as much. So you might want to do a little bit. Like, you know, here in, you know, East Patchogue, they haven't gone up as much as other places. They're up, but not, they haven't gone as crazy. Sometimes just go crazy, you know.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind. Well, we're going to be knocked off the air in about 10 seconds. Thank you for calling in. Thank you
Thank
for reading
you.
The books, by the way. You know, that
yes,
makes
I'm
me happier than anything.
Yep,
I'm waiting
for your next book.
Well, it's, I tell you, it's really done, and we just got to get, Amazon, get that book
it's
out.
Technicalities.
Yes.
We're getting past technicalities.
Uh-huh. And it is what it is. Well, good night, everybody. We'll all speak soon. Bye.
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 Bye, Cindy.